Our next reading is Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7, which is on page 573 of the Church Bibles. So Isaiah 9, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this."
Today's fourth reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, and you can find this in page 809 of the Pew Bibles. "And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'"
Please take a seat and allow me to add my welcome to Dan. As Dan said, my name is Kev. I'm the senior minister here at Euston Church. Great that you're able to join us for our Christmas celebrations. It really is starting to feel a lot like Christmas out there, isn't it? So it's wonderful that we can be together. "Reindeer get stressed at Christmas" was the headline the other day. Apparently having to hang out with small children like mine at this time of year causes them significant anxiety. I can kind of relate to the reindeer, to be honest. I want to suggest a new animal to help share the festive load. The one on the left is called a musk ox. They're Norwegian, so that's pretty Christmassy. Fur looks quite seasonal, doesn't it? And they're called musk ox. Nothing to do with Elon. Musk is what we make perfume and aftershave out of, you know. Apparently the male of the species does carry a rather pungent odour. So ask for some musk ox deodorant in your Christmas stocking, guys. Put hairs in your chest for 2026. The main reason these are even more Christmassy animals than reindeer, though, is that oxen have an actual part in the readings about Jesus' birth. And I'm not talking about the stable. Our second to last reading mentions a yoke. That is ox language for the piece of wood used to harness a pair of the beasts so that they can carry a load. It's not a very festive scene, unfortunately. Instead of sleighs and reins, picture a heavy yoke across the animal's backs. Instead of Santa, a military oppressor with a big stick. That's the scene here. It's an analogy for burdened people. On Sundays during Advent, we're journeying through this ancient and poetic prophecy of Isaiah's. It's a story of darkness turned to light, gloom into joy, for unto us a child is born. Isaiah 9 feels different from the more familiar gospel accounts of Jesus' birth. It was written 700 years previous, which means 3,000 years back from now. The place names in the reading mean nothing to us, and yet the themes resonate. Verse 4 speaks of burdens. Christmas itself can be a burden. Family demands, social engagements, secret Santas, what to wear, what to buy, what to eat, Brussels sprouts or no Brussels sprouts. My heart says yes, my digestive system says no. Shoulders are mentioned there. Maybe makes you think of weightier matters you carry on them. Long-term health issues, relationship problems, other griefs and sorrows. And then oppressors. Well, I hope you don't have too many oppressors, but let's keep it real. Bullies in the workplace, bank demands, oppressive thoughts in your head. One of the things I love about the Bible is when it feels like God in his word gets me. I find it so persuasive when scripture describes emotions and experiences that seem to come straight from life as we know it. God gets you. He gets our world. In their day, the yoke in the first instance was military oppression from surrounding nations. Actually, you can read more in the historical details down the road at the British Museum in the Assyrian section. But Isaiah speaks into even deeper woes. This reading is part of the unfolding drama of the Old Testament people of God, whose story was that he'd freed them from their oppressors, and yet, again and again, they chose to make a rod for their own backs. All in the name of freedom. All in the name of cutting loose from God, which turned out not to be freedom at all. Can you imagine people thinking they were liberating themselves when all they were doing was becoming more like those weighed down beasts? And the Lord, he doesn't mince his words in what he thinks about that. God's not like ChatGPT. Did you see the reports a few months ago about the chatbots being too flattering to us in the things that they say? So you draft a boring old email. This is genius, it says. A project plan. You are heroic. A sermon for Euston Church's carol service. No, don't worry, we don't use AI. Maybe we should use AI. I don't know. But God is better than that. He tells it as it is. In the paragraphs around this in Isaiah, he says, you think you're free from my shackles. You're like estranged children, burdened trying to work out who you are and what you're for. You think you're liberated, you're exposed without a heavenly father watching your back. You cut loose from my good ways, says God. You load yourself up with guilt and you deserve to be cut off forever. Not a lot of flattery there, but a wake-up call. And it's supposed to be one for us, because has let's cut loose from God gone well in our day? This, great, isn't it, if it's full of prezzies? A bit awkward to carry it around all day, though. And what if it's actually filled with the worries you're carrying? We've mentioned quite a few of them already. Add in the burdens of life cut loose from God, which is the root issue. What are we here for? What do I do with all these failures and shames? Does anyone out there care? You know, a student just outside on the street during Freshers Week told me that the atheism he'd grown up with wasn't enough on these bigger questions. Others said similar. Happy Christmas. Well, this is a Christmas reading. It's a promise that one day everything would change. That one day you would be able to say verse 5 had happened. That every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood would be burned as fuel for the fire. Fires at Christmas. Do you know what Netflix's most popular show was last Christmas? This. You ever turn it on? You know the crackling fire? Doesn't do anything, it just sits there. That was literally, that outstreamed the new season of Squid Game as the most popular program on Netflix last Christmas. I'm an unashamed user. I don't know if you have. I keep watching it just to see if anything different's going to happen to the crackling fire. It never does. But remember, their presenting burdens were military. Imagine chucking all the machinery of warfare into the fire because we don't have to be anxious about invasion ever again. How would that feel in Ukraine this evening? Imagine chucking every worry and wearying load into the flames. Could it ever be? Follow the logic. Burdens lifted, verse 4. 4, they've all been thrown on the fire, verse 5. 4, verse 6. A child is born. We know Jesus is the child prophesied because over 700 years after Isaiah said it, Gospel writer Matthew, who I'm holding here, records his birth, grabs our Isaiah reading, and says, he's the guy. Christmas says God made good on his promise to come to burn the burdens. In practice? Well, it's a shoulder transfer. You see that language in verse 6. A child, a son, his shoulders, burden shoulders, verse 4, his shoulders, carrying it all, verse 6. Think of a newborn baby, you know, their little backs, absolutely tiny little back, and then those tiny little shoulders. Bethlehem stable was the scene of tiny shoulders that would grow to bear the weight of the whole world. Later in Matthew, the grown-ups, Jesus says, come to me, you who are burdened. I will give you rest. It's not a fortune cookie platitude. His commitment to carrying humanity's load takes him from the manger to the cross, where he goes for the root of all our other burdens, which is we've all cut loose from God, and it hasn't gone well. Jesus held accountable in our place. He gets cut off so we don't have to be. He dies so that even oppressor death doesn't have to be a rod over our futures anymore. Burn the burdens. Well, we're clearly not there yet. You know, I don't know what you're like. I naturally get weighed down by the smallest of burdens, to be honest. But this shoulder transfer makes all the difference to life now. And God says, let me raise your sights to a burden-free eternity beyond your limited ambitions. Christmas says, give thanks for the birth of these shoulders. I don't know where you're at with this. It might seem a lot to believe and to trust in. But are you going to carry it all through this life and beyond on your own? Don't let pride stop you from coming to him as it did for so many back in Isaiah's day. We find it hard, don't we, to receive help sometimes? Earlier this year, I was on a train with too much luggage. I basically had all the family's stuff but was traveling on my own. I won't bore you with the logistics of why, but I try to be clever with rucksacks, you know, several on each shoulder, a wheelie suitcase that had other wheelie suitcases and other wheelie suitcases attached to it. I got off this train, and within 3 seconds, it was total disaster. My stuff all over the platform, at which point a guy I'd never met just came alongside me, immediately grabbed two of the suitcases, and he said, where are we going? And do you know what the funny thing was? Even as this guy was helping me, I was saying to him, no, it's okay. You know, don't help me. Well, just take the help, Kev. The child born to us says, let me carry the load for you. Oh, no, I'm fine, Jesus. Really? Happy Christmas. We're going to pray.
Let's pray.
Dear God, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Thank you for the good news of great joy, that you sent your son Jesus into the world to bring light into the darkness and relieve us of all the burdens we may bear. Thank you that you bear the consequence of our war with God and heal our relationship with him. We praise you that we can put our hope in you and bring our burdens and cares to you. For those of us here today that are reminded this season of the loss of a loved one, we pray that they would be comforted in the knowledge that there is a God who bears their burdens and has power over death. For those who don't yet believe, we pray that you would help them to see what a joyful message this is and what a beautiful shining light in the darkness. Lord, we turn to pray for our city. In this difficult climate of political tension, cost of living crisis, we thank you that the government is not on man's shoulders, but on yours. Thank you that your name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We pray that you would lift up Christian leaders who are like Christ, who will selflessly work for the good of the people. As people face the struggles of life in London and search for meaning and identity, we pray that you would help people to come to know Jesus and the freedom he gives us by healing our war with God and giving us peace. Lastly, we pray for the conflict and strife in the world around us, where wars rage on and families are not united over this festive period. God, you are a father who has broken the rod of our oppressor, and you promise that every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Lord, if it's your will, please would you bring an end to these horrific wars. We also pray that you would help Christians living in these areas to remember the hope that they have, that Jesus is God, who came as man to bear their burdens and will put an end to all wars one day, even as they live through really difficult times now. In your name we pray. Amen.